Welcome to Texans on Tap, episode 25. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Pololo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Pololo and at JoshJordan975. And for those that are listening on a podcast right now, give us a 5-star rating and review while you're there. That really helps us get promoted on those podcast apps. All right, guys, let's get into it. There are really not any good ways of sugarcoating this. You all know I had concerns going into Sunday's game in New York. The weather, the turf, the lack of Tank Dell, and just knowing how the Texans have performed against mediocre teams. DeMeco said earlier in the year how the team need to learn how to deal with success. So, gents, I ask you, did the Texans overlook the Jets going into Sunday, or was this a case of the injury bug finally catching up to Houston?
See, both of the above. Actually, I don't know that they looked ahead of the Jets all that much. They were just horrible, pillar to post. I mean, they didn't give up any points in the first half, so the defense wasn't lousy for 60 minutes, but then a complete fall apart in the second half. So I don't want to hear, oh, it's just injuries why they lost this game. Like, it was, oh, just officiating why they lost the Jaguars game. They were facing Zach Wilson. And in the second half, the Jets had touchdown drives of 75, 69, and 75 yards. That is defensive capitulation. Offensive side of the ball, but C.J. Stroud was terrible in the game, and then injury upon insult, leaving concussed 6.5 minutes to go when you're not completely dead in the game, but almost certainly dead in the game. But if we were to kick around 4 years from now, what four players on the Texans roster would you most hope are still on the roster? Well, at least Derek Stingley didn't get hurt yesterday, right? Stroud, Collins, Anderson, and then throw in Tank Dell, of course, gone to begin with. Brutal. There was the weather variable, but it did rain for both teams, and it's not like the Jets play in a driving thunderstorm every week, so they had all this experience that the Texans didn't. That was just a brutal second half, ass-kicking the end.
Yeah, they were out-coached, out-played. If you just looked at the game ahead of time, like, what would the Jets try to do? Try and get Breece Hall going, get the ball to Garrett Wilson, take advantage of Tyler Conklin, because the Texans aren't very good against tight ends. They did all those things, and they did them very easily. That should have been the top priority for DeMeco. These are the guys we need to focus on. Garrett Wilson, 9 catches, over 100 yards. The one that killed me, Breece Hall with 8 catches. I mean, they were just dumping the ball down to the running back, and he was just taking off. There were no linebackers to slow him down whatsoever. I mean, it was just ugly. There were no adjustments. It was a really hard game to watch, and I know Nico went down, so I'll turn to the offense here for a second. I know he got injured, but all week they're preparing to know they didn't have Tank Dell. So the priority had to be like, hey, we need to get John Metchie going. We need to get some of these other guys going. They didn't do anything. Noah Brown, once again, 0 catches. What did they work on all week on offense? So Beck and Brevin Jordan were your two best offensive players. That was terrible. And once the Texans finally did score a touchdown, they missed the extra point, and then they give up a touchdown drive right away. So it was just a butt kicking all the way around.
Yeah, look, you lose Collins and Dell. The Texans have arguably the worst wide receiver core in the league. Now, true that most NFL teams, if you take out the top two receivers, duh, they're going to fall down the rankings. But Robert Woods basically has no speed or quickness at this point. John Metchie, you hope, builds up to the player you hoped you were drafting out of Alabama before, obviously, the leukemia setback. Noah Brown, huge disappointment since the return from his injury after the two huge games before that. And Hutchinson's just the guy, flowing locks or not. The offensive line got shoved around. I mean, minor mitigating factor. The Jets do have a good defense. Quinnen Williams is a Pro Bowl defensive lineman. Their corner tandem is one of the best in the game. And I know Sauce Gardner got called for an early illegal use of hands. He was spectacular the rest of the game. And Reed on the other side was breaking up anything in his area. But for the Texans to be that inept, I mean, end of the first quarter, they had 33 yards in total offense. And I said, well, at least it can't get any worse than that. Hey, I was right. They averaged 34 yards of offense the remaining 3 quarters of the game. I mean, every once in a while, there'll be a mama said there'll be days like this. But like that? 135 yards of total offense for an NFL team. I don't care if you played all your walk-ons in a college game. 135 yards. The Jets have a good defense. They're not the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens. But to throw a little bit of sunshine or a silver lining around a dark cloud, hedged by, geez, if C.J. Stroud doesn't get through protocol this week, Texans win 3 out of 4, they're going to make the playoffs. The thinking is, well, whip up on the Titans twice, or at least get by the Titans twice, because the Texans haven't whipped up on anyone in near 3 months now. And then win one of the two games, home Cleveland or at Indy, 10-7, they'd be in good stead with tiebreakers. 9-8 is extremely dicey, of course, as it should be, because if you're 9-8, you're really not a playoff-worthy team. It's just that they've expanded the field.
We knew the passing game would be challenged. It's one of the few things the Jets do well, not to mention the weather. Josh, Bobby Sloak must have been watching SportsMap last week, because you and John talked about how Singletary should get the bulk of the carries. He did on Sunday. So if you told me going into the game that Devin Singletary was going to average 5 yards a carry, I'd think, well, the Texans are going to be in good shape. He only gets 13 touches. It seems like every week we're bitching about how the Texans run too much and are too predictable with that. Sunday in poor weather conditions, were you surprised that the Texans kept dialing up passing plays with a shorthanded receiving core?
I thought at least throw the ball to the running back. I mean, it's a low risk play. You saw the Jets do it 8 times. The Texans, they had one catch by a running back. Beck also had one too, but he's a fullback. So Singletary, we talked about how great he was. He didn't have any catches. It was only Pierce that had one. So what were they trying to do? It makes no sense to me. It's a low risk play. Just check the ball down, see if Singletary can make somebody miss. But that's just not happening. And that's Brevin Jordan didn't really get anything going until later in the game. I hate to do it, but a lot of this to me is on Bobby Slowick. They knew they were going to be challenged with Tank Dell out, and it seems like they didn't have any plans.
The hit on CJ, are you guys surprised that did not get flagged for a late hit?
I guess the way the NFL typically adjudicates overprotecting quarterbacks, a little bit surprising. Certainly not a dirty hit. I thought Williams' momentum probably would have carried him into Stroud, and I'm unaware of any pool reporter speaking with the official, the referee, particularly on that hit. I also thought Williams was blocked into Stroud. He was probably going to hit him himself, but he was in there, and he certainly fell off to the side, so he didn't drive his body through C.J. Stroud. So that, to me, is just one of those football happens, right? Anyone's head can get slammed against the turf, but geez, in a game that was pretty much already out the window, that compounds the agony for the Texans.
Yeah, I thought maybe he got pushed into him a little bit, because I thought the same thing, Brandon. The ball was out before he got hit. So I was calling for that. But then when I went back and looked at the replay, I was like, it's kind of close. So I could see why maybe they didn't throw the flag.
Well, the Texans gift Zach Wilson a career day. And Charlie, you say all the time, the other guys are on scholarship too. But we have a pretty good idea that this isn't who Zach Wilson is. How did the Texans get carved up so comprehensively on Sunday on defense?
You know, the Jets going into Sunday had scored a total of 10 offensive touchdowns in their 12 games. First team in 30 years to suck that badly offensively through 12 games of the season. First half, hey, they were on script. It's a 0-0 game at the half. And then the 3 long touchdown drives. Well, at least for the first time in weeks, the Texans didn't get beaten for a bomb, a long touchdown pass. But kind of the way they lost in Atlanta, the way they lost in Carolina, except this time was the whole second half. Long drive. They were the stick of butter. The Jets offense, the Zach Wilson-led offense, was the hot knife. 27 of 36 for 301. I mean, Aaron Rodgers probably wouldn't have put up better numbers than that if he'd been playing quarterback all season. I think there were specific spots where D'Amico and company were out-schemed. A 3rd and 9, Garrett Wilson gets matched up with a linebacker for a 1st down. Next play, touchdown. Randall Cobb's touchdown. Denzel Perryman can't run with him. And look, teams do scheme stuff in the underneath routes, the drag routes. They try to create wide receiver versus linebacker matchups, but the Texans got on both of those for huge plays. Wilson's a terrific player and was just better than the Texans secondary in the game. Will Anderson with a very stupid late hit, indisputably called a late hit. Texans would have had a 3rd and 10 defensively. Instead, you give him 15 yards and a 1st down. It was just an utter meltdown in all areas. If you'd have told me Zach Wilson would have hung those numbers on the board, I'd have said, sell me the Brooklyn Ridge and all the swampland in Florida you have with it. I would 75%. And then the one moment in the game where he's Zach Wilson's, right? He's running, he's feeling his oats, and he gives the ball up. And the Texans go 1, 2, 3 plays down the field and score. You're within one score. All right, Zach, do your thing. And they go 75 yards right down the Texans' throat to pretty much put the game away. I was stunned, right? Offensively, it was a miserable game, but the Jets do have a good defense. And if you have a bad day, you throw in the injuries. But for the defense to be demolished by that offense in the second half, whoa.
Yeah, for me, it's looking ahead a little bit. Look, we'll give him some more time, but John Mechie doesn't look like the answer, at least right now, wide receiver. Noah Brown, samesies. Robert Woods, I mean, he's on the back half of his career. They just, without Nico and without Tank, they got nothing. And especially Dalton Schultz being out, they lost Cashman this game. Will Anderson had an ankle injury. I mean, it was just a terrible day altogether. I will say this for the Jets. They do rise up and beat decent teams. I'm looking at their, you know, they beat the Texans, obviously. They also beat the Eagles. They beat the Bills. They beat the Broncos. So they can jump up and beat a decent team from time to time, and that happened yesterday.
It's just a rough reminder that the Texans are a middle-of-the-pack team. They're not a really good team yet. Even at 7-5, and to their credit, winning a bunch of close games, including a couple of them over not very good teams. But middle class is a quantum leap forward. Now, the Stroud injury, the concussion, casts a pall on this. I don't want to say they're totally playing with house money at this point. You're 7-5 and in playoff position and with the schedule pretty favorable, it'll feel like a huge opportunity slipped away. And the NFL is built for some mediocre teams to get in the playoffs. And that's still right there for the Texans. But if Stroud misses the Tennessee game and certainly a game beyond that, tough to see them winning 3 of their remaining 4 if Davis Mills is starting 1 or 2 of them.
It is about perspective, right? It's like if you would have told Texans fans before the season, hey, in week 15, you're going to have won 7 games. You're going to have beaten Steelers, Bengals, Jaguars. I think the fan base takes that. I think it's the fact that you beat those teams and then drop to really bad teams, the Carolinas of the world and the Jets of the world, and make those teams look a lot better than they really are. Charlie, to your point, I think it is about a young team learning how to win and be consistent and get up for every game. It's probably about the coaching staff, too. A lot of first-time coaches in these positions here, you know, trying to figure out how to get their guys motivated for games from week to week. It's a weird thing to ask coming off of the team's worst game of the season, but who was your Texans player of the game?
I only have one remotely possible nominee. Well, if you wanted to throw in Cam Johnston again. So I'm going to leave that on the board and I'm going to declare it vacant. They lost 30-6 to the Jets. I go with no one.
No one. I'll go with Jonathan Grenard. He got to 10 sacks on the season. So he got a couple of them, I believe, on Sunday. So I didn't think we'd have a pass rusher with 10 sacks this year on the Texans. So I'll give it to Jonathan.
Well, that's going to be it for episode 25 of Texans on Tap. We're doing an early look at Texans Titans in tomorrow's episode. As always, you can listen to that early on podcast, or just give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. If you're watching on YouTube, those links are in the description. Thanks for listening. Go Texans.